Hello and welcome to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. With me this week is John Baldassira.
Hey.
And who is it who is gracing us once every few thousand years? It's
Short
Michael Thorne.
It's the best boy.
It's Michael Thorne.
It's the best boy. Hello.
How you doing?
Yeah, right. I'm good, man.
You're alive.
Yeah.
How's hibernation been?
Yeah, canny. My cape's been quite nice and warm, so yeah, just got up for a little jaunt, and then I'm going back, so it's nice.
Yeah. Alright. See you in another year.
Are you going to hibernate till the next series of Critical Role?
Yeah, starts
next week.
Let's get it out the way. Let's get it out the way. What's Critical Role?
Man.
Why is it good? You've got 2 minutes.
It's just the best form of entertainment you've ever seen in your life.
It's not.
Okay.
It's a D&D game played on Geek and Sundry.
Okay.
Bunch of voice actors, and they've been doing it for 5 years now. And
oh, wow.
A couple of years ago, they decided to put it online and let people watch. So it was a bit jarring at first because they were coming from a home game. And, it took
best
a while to get into it.
Best entertainment.
It took a while.
Jump halfway through a campaign. Fucking beautiful.
Shut up. So anyway, if you give it 10 episodes, which is a lot because they're about
6 hours long.
I don't think I've given anything 10 episodes.
Shut up, man. Just let me flow. Right.
60 hours.
If you give it about 10 episodes.
How much time is that?
It's about four times 40 hours.
So you've got to wait till you get halfway through Metal Gear Solid 3 before you know if you like the series or not. Is what you're telling me.
Metal Gear Solid 3 is not longer than 40 hours.
It's not.
No, but you mean from the start of Metal Gear Solid?
Start.
Okay, right, sorry.
Let's be fair, though.
The greatest form of entertainment.
Yeah, okay.
It's so good, though. God damn. You just don't understand.
No?
I don't.
Okay. I'll remain ignorant. Maybe if like I'm totally burnt out on like everything that I enjoy, and I'm like, fuck, nothing, like literally nothing's doing it for me anymore. I'll spend 40 hours in Critical Role, then maybe I'll become a believer. But that's a big time investment.
Yeah, I mean, there's 115 episodes to watch, and it's just amazing. Like,
cool.
Amazing characters. Matthew Mercer's the greatest dungeon master to ever live. He's just
okay.
He's just incredible. He's actually incredible. So.
Is that Yusuke from Persona 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So,
cool. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did a cry last night watching it because
yeah?
It was so emotional. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was beautiful. So,
That's
I watched
minutes.
An episode of it and I didn't care for it. It's kind of boring.
Fine.
Just a lot, right. Like 4 hours is too long. It's there's a lot of just empty space of non-interest and stuff going on. That it's maybe edited it down into something a bit more that flows a bit better.
Yeah. So maybe that is D&D, right?
D&D's fun
to
play.
Room.
I don't
know
if it's that fun to watch unless you like fiddle with it excessively to make it interesting.
Sure, like I've watched yous play D&D before.
Yeah,
and there's bits and pieces where it's interesting as an observer to be like, ah. That was cool, or like that was a nice little exchange or whatever, but it's, you know, man, like when you're playing it, I'm sure it's a ton of fun, but it is a bit much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see it also,
that's some criticism.
Like in the frame of like a Let's Play, for example, I can see the appeal. I just don't watch Let's Plays anymore. Like I'm not 15.
Yeah. Joseph.
So, don't you mean a quick look?
No, it's a Let's Play, because it's the whole thing. It's not just the start.
Yeah.
All right. You mean an endurance run?
I'll have a peek into a quick look every now and then, but...
Yeah.
If it was Persona 5, I'd maybe watch the endurance run.
Could I just...
It's nice to have on.
Could I just, like...
It's the boys.
I mean,
yes.
Going away from Critical Role, I mean, if you want to watch it, it's, like, available on Twitch and YouTube and all that, and...
Yeah.
They've also made it into a podcast now. So you can have it on the go, listen to it at work, on your commutes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out if you're interested. It's I think it's astonishing. But
has the whole thing been one campaign?
Yeah.
So maybe next week is the best time to watch it because they're starting a new one and you're not dropped into the middle. They've got all the fucking issues with the sound and everything that they had at the start of the original Critical Role.
I guess so.
Out of the way. This might be the better place to drop in, right? For new listeners?
I mean, next year.
Next year?
That's when they're coming back.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was next
just
week.
Just having a break.
Said? Okay.
No, sorry. It was next year. There as January time.
Okay.
I think they're just having a break. But, I mean, going back to like Let's Players and stuff like that. Can you imagine how amazing it would have been when we were kids to just watch someone play an entire video game? Like, how mind-blowing is that?
I used to watch John play video games all the time.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
like, all the time.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, like, when you were younger, obviously money wasn't as free-flowing as now. And, like, you could only really go off what your mates said and, like, magazine articles about video games. And now
kinda
you can just
like...
go on Twitch and watch someone play an entire game that you just you may have heard of and are interested in playing.
I kind of like the mystery. I honestly, maybe it's just because I'm old, but I preferred the mystery of like getting Games Master and looking at the first Japanese screenshots of Final Fantasy VIII and being like, "What the fuck is this game?" Like, not, obviously not being able to read anything in the screenshots and just being like, "Who are these characters?" And then getting the game and
that's
it all
being
fresh. Like that, I prefer that honestly. Like, I've stopped watching trailers as much. Let alone like gameplay footage, but yeah.
Oh,
I guess so.
we'll get to that because I have been swamped with Super Mario Odyssey footage.
I just watched
that on mornings.
Oh. I haven't watched any, man. And
jeez,
Mario, it doesn't really matter because like it's pure gameplay. You know, like I don't care about the story or spoilers or anything about Mario. But
it's the greatest story ever told.
I think it's going to be quite exciting just to see the new worlds for the first time. I've seen the stuff that was revealed in the directs and stuff, but I haven't dived in, really. I kind of half-watched those bits.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's 2 weeks
Good
away,
Lord.
Man.
Good Lord, don't even mention that.
It's incredibly close.
Yeah, I might have to take a break from the podcast.
It's going to be edging for the next 13 days.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, until Mario, what have we got coming up? Or what have we been playing recently?
What have we been playing, Joseph?
What? I'm starting this time. Wow.
Yes, you're starting.
I never
man.
Start.
It was my ham-fisted attempt at a fucking transition into what we've been playing.
A segue,
that's the one. So,
I started playing Shadow of Mordor, which is the original Middle-Earth game.
Yeah.
I know they're very similarly named and also very convolutedly named. So
yeah.
You know, the loot box stuff really put me off the new one, even though that game looks really good, like, of everything I've seen of it. I'm like, this seems like a game that is, like, made for me to some degree.
Yeah.
Like, the Fortress Assaults and all that, it just seems really interesting. So I went back to the original, which is not really interesting, really. Like, I remember playing it and enjoying it well enough, but dropping it pretty quick. And, yeah, it's kind of a mess to some degree. The Nemesis system doesn't seem all that fleshed out.
Mm.
The combat isn't great. The camera control feels really wonky.
That game is just
okay,
brown.
Though. Yeah.
It's a brown-ass game.
You get the second area, there's quite a bit of green. There's a lot of grass and
you have to spend
things,
a lot of time in the brown area.
Yeah, about 8 hours.
I spent way longer than that.
Yeah, I kind of rushed through that stuff because, like, it doesn't get like feature complete until you get through the first area of being like, okay, here's all the things you can finally do with the Nemesis system to get it going, to get stuff, all that jazz. So I kind of like blasted through the first area and it's okay. It's a fine game. It seems pretty bare bones. It's understandable why you were able to buy it for like $20. A couple of weeks after launch.
Did come out of nowhere. Like, people were like, oh, that Lord of the Rings game is pretty good.
Yeah, all the rumors were that it was, like, originally developed as a Batman game, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that as well.
Yeah, absolutely, from the combat especially.
Yeah.
Hmm,
yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed that game. I'm looking at the second one and going, do I really want to put the same amount of effort and time into it for a game that just looks as similar, maybe with a few new moves?
Yeah, and like, all the frustrations and like minor controversy over the loot box stuff surely puts you off a little bit too.
Yeah. I mean, like, I usually like upgrade paths and stuff like that, but yeah, it just seems like it's so convoluted this time around, like, the crafting and, like, all that stuff, and it's just, like,
I fucking love that stuff. That stuff's, like, a real selling point for me. I like how the Nemesis system has, like, an actual use to some degree, rather than it just being story-based. It's like, I can take over this guy and send him to fight this enemy so that he can become, like, the bodyguard of the guy running the fortress. So it makes capturing the fortress easier. Like, there's, like, direction in the Nemesis system, and you don't have to do any of it. You could just assault the fortress and get fucked up, or you could have, like, a really easy way of assaulting them. Like, it's cool. It's, like, the way that they should do freeform open-world games to some extent. But there's also a lot of, like, fucking busy work as well. Apparently, like, the end game of that game is just fucking grinding for hours, like tens of hours, to get to the secret ending, or the actual ending, the true ending.
Actual.
But it seems cool. It's just like the loot box stuff. Like, the problem with those games of that type is that it's constantly trying to stop you from thinking, well, what's the point in any of this? And the loot box thing immediately goes, well, why should I even play this game? So that's the real problem with it, rather than it being like a scummy tactic. It's just like,
it's
there's
more,
no
you
appeal.
Don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
You don't want to think, like, this time that I'm spending has actually been quantified how much it's worth. The loot boxes are all random as well, aren't they? That's, like, the real problem. Am I right in thinking
that? Yeah.
So, like, you want, like, a legendary orc or whatever, but there's no guarantee you'll actually get one. Is that right?
Man, Tolkien's rolling in his grave when he said legendary orc.
Like, it has some assurance of being like, hey, if you open the silver loot box or lockbox, whatever they're called, which is bought with in-game currency, you'll definitely get at least a rare orc or something, or maybe it's an epic orc.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the gold ones are at least a legendary. Probably not. It's probably like an epic one or something.
An epic orc. Yeah.
But if you're playing it on PC, you can just give yourself infinite silver loot boxes. So
infinite orcs.
Don't even sweat it. If you're playing on console, not so easy.
It's kind of different, but they've kind of got this in the Tales game that I've been playing, Tales of Berseria, where you can, like, pay a few pounds just to, like, level your characters up to level 100 straight away.
Yeah.
Jesus.
But, like, the amount of money is a lot less,
and,
like, the game's so easy anyway, and you level up at such a good pace anyway. It hasn't, like, I've played, like, 3/4 of that game. There's no difficulty spikes or anything. So, like, I'm kind of like, you know, maybe if I didn't have any time and I just wanted to see the story, this might be reasonable. And because the game's so easy and leveling hasn't been a grind in the slightest, it feels okay. But I can like easily see it being like an old Dragon Quest game where the grind is very much there and can be tedious. If that system was in place in something like that, I think it was a bit gross, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's all just about the balance of, like, how much time does it actually take? How much does this actually cost? Like, I don't know. I don't think it's as black and white as all loot boxes are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, like, really, loot boxes come from the beginning. Originally, before loot boxes, it was, you know, Pokemon cards, Magic the Gathering. You open a pack, and maybe you get an awesome one, maybe you don't. It's kind of like
shiny Charizard.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like, it's not regarded, it hasn't, for a long time, it hasn't been regarded as, like, predatory. Maybe it kind of is a little.
Kind of, like, you could, this is a bit different, but you could equate it to, oh man, this month's Games Master comes with, like, a cheat book for, like, Metal Gear Solid that tells you all of the codec codes. Like, there's always been ways to spend money to mitigate the process of progression in games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like, always. Sense. Yeah.
And, like, kind of, I like, the issue at hand, I don't think, well, it is to some degree the worry of it being, like, a gambling thing. For weak-willed people or compulsive people to spend a lot of money on something that they don't want to by accident.
I really think the random nature of it is, like, the thing, I wouldn't say the only thing, but is the thing that rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
But, like, a lot of it, to me anyway, is that it just, it's really lazy game design. Like, if you look at Assassin's Creed Origin, that game has loot boxes, but they're only bought with in-game currency. And it's like, well, why didn't you just balance the game so that finding these items in the world made sense and was fun instead of just being like, spend currency to buy a loot box because we couldn't be bothered to balance our game properly. Like
the joy in something like Dark Souls or something is like finding that little nook and cranny that you struggled to get to and be like, here's like a totally unique pair of gloves or something.
Yeah.
I missed that from a lot of games.
Or even like if you look at World of Warcraft is pretty much pay £8 a month.
Yeah.
For once a week, you can go through this dungeon and have a chance to get this item that maybe you want with a bunch of other people. Maybe they want it too, and you might not even get it. Maybe with like 40 other people, and you probably won't get this item. It's like, that's kind of like a loot box.
Yeah, definitely.
But because the way in which it's framed is really fucking good. Like, it's really satisfying to the point where a few tens of millions of people played it for like a long time. You know, because like the way it's framed, the way that it focuses on the community and how maybe you're not getting the gear isn't that big of a deal because your guild's getting the gear to progress. You're progressing through a dungeon and getting more chances at more loot. It's like that's the way that you should do it because that's a fucking game. When you're like get a loot box with currency, it's not. It's like, well, maybe this should have been a dungeon instead with some compelling storyline and gameplay elements. Nope, it's currency. It's just lazy.
We were talking about like fighting games and stuff as well with like paid DLC for things like new characters.
Yeah.
And like with stuff like that, you know what you're getting. And there's always the option to just like wait a year and a half and then get the version that's going to be £30 instead of £45 that has all of that DLC in it. You know, there's always options with things like that. But
I also think that like loot boxes do actually enhance some form of games. Like for me, like I can take it or leave it, to be honest, but like Heroes of the Storm has loot boxes and like it's kinda nice like when you level up and you get a loot box and you open it and it's like, "Wait, got some skins, mate." And got some emojis and it's just a nice little thing. The thing that I don't like is when it gets into the territory of, hey, pay £5 for this one box and you might get a skin.
Yeah, It is the random nature that like, is like insane in some ways.
To go back to Heroes of the Storm as well, that is a really good way of doing it. It's a free-to-play game.
It's all cosmetic, I assume.
You can get heroes but you also get currency. You also get a separate currency, so you get like when you level up, you get a loot box. Every time you play a game or do a challenge, you get gold, and you can use that gold to buy whichever hero you want.
Sure.
Or you can buy the hero outright with money. And it's very easy to get enough gold. Like I've got quite a few heroes in that game just from playing it. I haven't spent a single penny on it. And you also get chests every level. You level up a hero, so you end up, you know, you get a lot of stuff like all the time. It's like, here's the thing, just to give you just the little thing because you've been playing this game and having fun or whatever. The daily quest stuff's a bit of a grind, and I don't like doing that stuff. Right, but, yeah, you know, I think it does a pretty good job of it. Obviously, not as good as Dota because it just gives you all the heroes from the get go. But otherwise, it's fine. It's decent, you know.
Added to the list of things we're not going to talk about
today. You've said your piece about Dota being superior.
Yeah.
Michael said his piece about Critical Role.
To some degree, I absolutely agree.
Sure. Yeah.
I just think that this is a... No, I'm not even going to get into it. But it is a fun game if you want to start playing MOBAs.
Yeah.
It gives cosmetic items out, which Dota doesn't do at all anymore. So it's good in that respect. Mm. Unless you pay, you know. So... I think Hots is pretty good. I've come around on that game finally.
It's
to be
certainly
like,
got a lot better.
Plus, like you play with like Sally, don't you, and a couple of friends.
Yeah.
That's always gonna make it.
I play Dota alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. I play Hots alone. Like, it's just a chill out game for me. Like, I've never been particularly I've never been particularly competitive in online games. I mean, I played Counter-Strike for years,
yeah,
and that was just a goof with mates on a Saturday night,
yeah,
having some early teenage beers and playing some 1.6 and just having a laugh. But, you know, like, I sit down after work and maybe have one game before I go to bed at 7 o'clock. You know, nice. It's just nice, yeah.
7 o'clock.
Jesus Christ, man, I'm so tired.
I understand. Cool.
That's because you stayed up all night watching Critical Role. That's why you're tired.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I also...
crying.
Yeah, just exhausted from emotions. No, but I did get up at 5:30 yesterday.
That was, yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah, man.
Every Friday you stay up for like 26 hours. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know why you do that.
Yeah.
That's probably why everything's fucked for you, man. It's crazy.
I've gone the opposite way. I've gone from just never being awake to always being awake.
Yeah. Well, you get more done, I guess. Get experience more life.
I mean, yeah, sure.
that has its pros and cons.
I mean, my suggestion
is to drink red wine and Diet Coke.
Yeah,
I call it Go Juice.
Go Juice. Jesus, you should call it Joe Juice.
Joe Juice, yeah. Have you played anything else, Joseph?
Doki Doki Literature Club. I've played about an hour and a half.
Here we go. My heart is going Doki Doki right now.
Do you mind if I just mute my mic and then?
I mean, you can if you want. I'm going to talk about it very briefly because I can't really talk about it. It's a free visual novel on Steam that presents itself initially as just like, you know, this really, really corny standard visual novel. Choose the girl you like and date her or whatever.
Pursue her.
I'm in.
The first hour and a bit of that is pretty much what it is. Yeah, you join a literature club with your best friend, who's a girl, and all the members are girls as well. And you write poetry, the only mechanic basically is that every night you have to write a poem, and you just select words that correspond to the character that you've liked.
Wow.
So it's like, this character is like, she likes cute things, so you want to choose cute words, and she likes simple words in poetry. She likes to keep it very simple, so you'll choose those ones. Or this one likes fantasy stuff, or like world building stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In-depth world building, and she also likes psychological horror stuff as well, so
yeah,
you can choose like a mixture of that stuff, and you'll go down her route, basically, is how it works.
Taro-chan, is that you?
Yeah, so I've finished the game, but as visual novels go, you want to replay it multiple times to go down different routes, but this game kind of twists that a little bit of being like, you finish the game, it's like start a new game, but it's different.
Yeah,
okay. Like from the get-go, so that's
okay.
Something to look at. It's free to play, completely free. There's like a DLC I think you can pay for that is basically just supporting the developers for the product that they have made.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it
looks
it
at some? I don't know. I think it's Western. It seems Western to me.
Yeah, yeah. But it's very anime art style.
Yes.
Inspired. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an interesting game. I'll play a bit more of it after like 45 minutes of it. I was like, I don't know if I want to play this game anymore, but I powered through because like it's not an interesting game by any means at the start, but it's starting to do something. It just takes way too long to get going, really, in my opinion, but what you gonna do?
Yeah,
it's okay.
Cool.
Take a look at it, maybe. I don't think you need to, but you can.
I want to update next week. I want to see how many ladies that you've wooed.
It's not going that way anymore. I think it's changing a little.
Oh, Christ.
To be more like...
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's all I've played, pretty much. I haven't played much this week. Been watching a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Don't do it. it is amazing, though. The new episodes have been very good as well.
Good.
Very much enjoyed that. Yeah.
What you been playing, John?
I finished Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
Yep.
I actually did it. I sat down and I finished it.
Sure.
I really liked it. Overall, characters are class throughout. Like, pretty much everything I said about it last week, I like all of those aspects even more. by the end of the game. Like, grew pretty attached to the characters. I really love the main character, like the playable character, May. I think she's awesome.
Yeah. She is really
I really love her parents as well, like the relationship she has with her parents. It kind of reminds me of like what Roger Ebert had to say about the Ghibli films, where it's like, it's so nice to see like parent-child relationships in like something like Totoro, My Neighbor Totoro, where like the parents aren't like cynical and mean. They're just kind of like supportive and like, yeah, go and have fun. Good for you. And like, you get that vibe from Night in the Woods.
Mm.
It's not
Yotsubato like is a lot like that as well.
Yeah, it's not the traditional like parents being stern and like fucking bossy or anything. It's just like, it's just really nice.
Yeah.
Like, they do have conflicts. She does have conflicts with her parents, but it's just like really natural. You know, they apologize to each other and just get on with life. And it's just like, it's really cool. I will say though, like the without spoiling too much, like there's supernatural stuff that's hinted at throughout the game, and I don't think that stuff comes together very well. In my opinion, it's okay, but the metaphor that it's going for is like pretty on the nose to begin with. Like throughout the whole game, there's kind of like, you know, kind of like a very like left wing ideology present throughout, which I think is a good thing, and I think the majority of the ways it presents those viewpoints through like conversations with the characters and just like the state of the town you're in, really effective and like kind of cool. But like the metaphor they use with the supernatural stuff is just kind of a bit obvious.
Yeah.
Or it was a bit obvious to me. And then like in the closing moments of the game, like one of the characters, like the crocodile girl, like spells it out, like what the metaphor is. And it's like, well, okay. But you know, that's fine. It's kind of like a pretty minor quibble because the rest of the game's so strong, I think. All of the little mini games are really cool and inventive.
Dialogue is
top notch. Yeah, it's hella.
It's hella good.
Quality from Life is Strange, would say. It's nice. It's just really, really good overall. Really loved it. Music's great as well. And there's a trophy, and the name of the trophy is taken from Bouncing Souls lyrics. So that made me really happy.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then other than that, the only thing I've really messed around with is the Gran Turismo Sport demo/beta or whatever it was.
John's favorite genre of game.
Yeah, racing sim. I'm a hardcore racing sim fan. Well, I think I said like last week, like Gran Turismo has a lot of nostalgia for me. It was like one of the first PlayStation games we got. Like our cousin who used to play games with a lot played it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first PS2 games I played as well. Like I played it over at my friend's house a lot, the third one, a lot on PS2. So I had to check it out and man, it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, I have a 4K TV and all of that, and like I've appreciated stuff in 4K before, but like getting up a little closer to the screen to play some Gran Turismo, it was like truly stunning. Like the HDR and the lighting and all of that kind of stuff's like unbelievable. And just the sense of like speed on some of the courses is just kind of like really intense. Like when you pass the cars and like you're taking tight turns and stuff, like everything feels like it has so much weight to it. I think the progression system or the little mini campaign system they've got, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's being kind of like pretty reduced from what's normally in Gran Turismo games.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels way more accessible. Like, I remember playing Gran Turismo 5 and not really knowing what to do next. It was like, get the specific car for this specific event. And didn't really tell you how to actually go about doing any of that.
Yeah.
That's whereas, just kind of like racing sims overall.
Yeah. Whereas this. Yeah, sure. Whereas this is just kind of like a little campaign thing, and you kind of unlock levels as you go, and like you'll unlock 6 levels at a time, and it'll just give you the car that you need. And some of the levels will literally just be like, take these like 3 turns, this like little section of this course, and make sure that you're in the top 3 by the end of it. And it just like teaches you specific things, like how to kind of like pass your opponents like by turning on the inside of them and stuff like that. And it was just really satisfying. I only played it for a few hours, but seeing myself get so much better at handling the cars in that little amount of time. And just everything about the progression, like when you finish one of those little missions, like the jingles that you get when you like unlock experience points and cash and stuff like that. Just like super well presented and stuff like that.
Does it have an extremely elaborate and like to the point of almost boring intro?
Not the demo, but it absolutely will. Like the full game, I'm sure.
Yeah, because like, I remember the last game. It was like the forging of a car.
Car, yeah.
It was like I love that stuff, man. Wow. Okay.
And, Wasn't it like Feeder on Gran Turismo 3 or something was the intro song?
Oh, God, yeah.
Something like that. Like, I remember seeing that in Gran Turismo 3 on PS2 at my friend's house and just being, like, totally blown away. And, it's 4K. Just... 4K. No, it's just, like, presentation-wise, it's just absolutely top-notch. And much like with Street Fighter 5, there's part of me that wants to dedicate all of my time to playing something like this, but I just can't. There's so many other good things that I'd miss out on. There's only so much time, so I think I'm going to pass on this. I'll maybe pick it up in a year's time when it's cheaper and I've got a little bit more free time, which will probably never happen, but, you know.
At least you don't go to bed at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but I think people are going to be really happy with this game. I hope. Yeah. The impressions from the demo are pretty positive all around with regards to physics and things like that. And I didn't play online at all, but the online infrastructure stuff's meant to be great, which is kind of a surprise for Gran Turismo. I think, but encouraging.
I mean, if you turned around and went, it looks fine, but it's not for me. I think it's missed the entire point of that entire series for me personally, because first and foremost, that game is just sort of like a demo of what that system can do visually.
Yeah, sure.
And like that game could run like complete ass for me, and I'd still probably enjoy looking at it.
Yeah, it runs really well. Like 60 frames, the loading times are really impressive. When you go to a new course, it takes a bit of time to load in or whatever. But if you're failing a challenge, like you hit restart and you're immediately back in. You know what I mean?
That's good.
Yeah, it's like really. It seems like a cut above the last game I played in that franchise, which was kind of a chore to play with regards to like restarts and things like that and setting up races.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah, whereas this just seems like really user friendly, which is a crazy thing to say about Gran Turismo, I suppose.
Yeah, it's got actual good quality of life stuff in there.
Yeah, and like I don't barely anything about cars and barely anything about racing sims, but like, you know, Gran Turismo is always, even at its worst, has been regarded as having the most accurate physics, whether that makes for a good game or not, besides the point. Like it's always been like best in class when it comes to actual racing and the actual physics of the cars, apparently.
Yeah.
And I think according to the response from this, like nothing's changed there. You know, it's still the best in terms of that stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, I just can't wait until I go around yours next time, and then you just like you walk in and you're just sitting there in your little bucket seat, and you've got your pedals out, and you've got your wheel and your gear stick, and you're just like, do you want to go in my car game?
it's not my car game.
Playing Euro Truck Simulator.
Yeah. It's not Gran Turismo.
Yeah. No. You've gone past deep. Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Far too deep.
I gotta deliver these chickens to Berlin.
there's a bit of a traffic jam. I'm gonna have to stay here in this fictional game for 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'll have a Miller Lite hat on. Totally. So what are you been playing then, Michael?
Oh Christ, I haven't been on here for a while, so
go for the last week or two.
Yeah, sure.
Oh bloody hell. Cuphead.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through that game, and I'm slowly, slowly getting through it.
Where are you up to?
End of World 2-ish.
Okay.
I can't remember which boss I'm on. I think I'm trying to beat the dragon one.
Oh, that fucking dragon took me so long.
I can get through all of it. It's just the last one, when you hit the projectiles, it creates more projectiles.
Yeah.
And then you can't stay in the middle because he fires that big long chain breath thing.
Yeah.
And by the time I'm in there, like I can pretty much do the first half of that entire boss without getting hit. And then it's the flames that jump at you.
Mm-hmm.
Just
it's always in the middle.
For some reason, like one of them will just jump higher than you expect, and you'll just jump right into it. And you're like,
oh, yeah, yeah, that bit sucks. Like that, I think that's one of the parts of that game that is just really not well designed. It feels really random where they're going to jump.
It does.
So I don't know. The charge shots meant to be really good on that boss if you have that.
I use the boomerang because I'm constantly moving to the other side of the screen.
Yeah,
and when you fire it. Goes like boomerangs and does more damage, but I've
also
got
you,
I've also got rid of the the four hearts buff.
Yeah.
And I'm using the one that slowly fills up your super meter over time.
Mm.
And I'm not sure it's the best, but I can't afford anything else at the minute. Because when I first did those few levels, I was like, oh, I'll buy some things. I don't know what they do. I mean, even though it tells you, so...
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was like, oh, Christ, is there no way to get more currency? And, oh, God, I have to do this level. I will say, one of my favourite levels in that game was actually one of the platforming levels. Right. In the second world, it's the one where you constantly go in on the ceiling.
Right, yeah. Do you remember the one where you can swap gravity?
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's
pretty good.
I really, really enjoyed that level, even though it took me about 50 times to get through it. Mm-hmm. I just think that the just excellent enemy design, like, it made sense what you were trying to do. It was a bit puzzly in places. Like, just loved it. And that's from me coming off those two levels in the beginning in the first world, where it just seems really tacked on.
Mm. And yeah, like, the first couple aren't good. I don't think.
No. But I mean, that the boss design's been fantastic so far.
Mm.
I think the standout for me has been the genie. I really, really enjoyed that one. And the face that he makes in that second bit when he's in his sarcophagus and he's just like, woo!
It's amazing.
The big boy.
It's so good.
It's amazing. And it's so evocative and just... It's incredible what they've managed to do with that game. And I don't think it's a perfect 10 out of 10 for me, but I certainly am enjoying it, so...
Yeah, it's not... Excellent. It's not... It's got very blatant flaws to it, but...
Yeah.
It's still really enjoyable. Like, the drive to see the next boss, just to see what it looks like...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, lets you play, like, makes you want to play it over and over again.
Yeah,
it's like...
Yeah.
It's a good marriage of gameplay and aesthetic.
And I mean,
like, this looks amazing.
I think it's more of a get-gooder game than, like, Dark Souls is, because even in Dark Souls, you can get a better sword that does more damage.
Yeah.
And therefore, it'll be easier to fight the boss.
You can
in
cheese
this,
your way through a lot of Dark Souls, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
In this, it's just, you've got to do it the first time, and you've got to do
you've
it gotta, right.
You've actually got to do it, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I went in there and I thought, maybe not as hard as they said it was, but I'm in the second world, and I've heard it's the hardest world. And
it steps it up something fierce.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and, like, just fun. And a lot of the bosses remind me of, like, World of Warcraft bosses in a way. Especially the ones where it's like, oh, they've got phases, but it could be multiple things, and you don't know what they're going to be until you actually get to that phase. And it's really cool. It's like the second world, the Candy Lady. I like that boss, because I fight, like, three of her minions, and they're random. So that was cool. I enjoyed that. I'll get through it, I guess, and we'll see. But it's hard. It's
you can do it.
Not very good at hard games. I'm not good at games, so...
You can do it. You can do
I can do the thing.
I'm terrible at Cuphead. I was playing a little bit while we were waiting for you to come online, and...
Yeah.
I'm just fucking awful at it.
Where you at?
I've only killed two bosses.
Oh,
and then
right,
I kept playing the first run on gun stage and kept dying on that. So, I'm not great.
The first boss, the vegetable patch boss.
Yeah.
I got the carrot stage and I forgot that you could shoot up. So what I was doing, I was jumping, and right at the apex of the jump, I was
firing
hitting
a shot
them,
off.
And it was like one of them was hitting it, and I've just banged my head against that boss for, like, it felt like hours. And then I was like, oh Christ, you can shoot up. And I just...
Mine.
Jesus.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough, but... The button layout, let's not even talk about that.
Yeah,
like,
can change it.
Wow. I know you can. I know, and I have, but...
Default one.
What a misstep.
Like,
yeah.
Like...
Yeah. I was in a lot of pain for the first, like, 10 minutes I played that game.
Yeah, I'm happy for those devs that it's sold over a million, like, but... Christ, on a bike, have they played a video game before?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I
played,
also...
like, Mega Man. Played old games where they didn't have back buttons.
I also keep thinking it's like a bullet hell every time I pick it up again, where you've got, like, hammer, the shoot button.
Yeah, okay.
But obviously you can just hold it down. That was my own fault. They actually tell you, but, you know.
But even with that, like, standard, like, hold X or whatever it is, hold, what was it? In the thingy, and then jump with X, and then...
Like, that doesn't bother me, because it's just like Mega Man, you know?
After about an hour, my finger starts to hurt.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just getting old.
It feels a bit more natural, though, than the dash and stuff. Yeah. But whatever, you can remap it easy enough, like Joseph said.
Yeah, so I'm slowly making my way through there, and I'll get there one day.
Cool.
I guess. Yeah.
What and else have you played?
Just a bunch of Switch stuff, because
it's
the best.
How's the Rabbids?
Oh, yeah, okay. So I kind of fell off with that game. I need to go back, because I do enjoy it. But I think I'm at the last world, and the difficulty stepped up. But I've unlocked everyone now. And
do you know what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Mario's going to come out, and you're never going to play that game again. Never. You'll never finish this game.
Well, probably, but for other reasons, because I also bought Disgaea 5.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hit me.
I mean, it's just some anime bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the gameplay's okay. And there seems like a lot to do.
Yeah.
But, man, that's some anime bullshit right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even more than most games.
This guy is pretty weird.
Yeah, and,
there's a lot of 500-year-old demons in children's bodies.
Yes.
I like Disgaea though.
Yeah, Prinny's are cool.
Yeah, Prinny's are good.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm slowly making my way through that. I'm like 4 hours in, so I've basically played about 0.5% of that game.
Okay. Yeah, and I still
haven't unlocked the ability to go inside items, and that's kind of what I want to see.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been playing that. I downloaded the new... I can't even remember what it's called now. What that puzzle game is. What is on the Switch?
Picross. Game.
Picross, yes. Yeah.
How is it?
It's very basic, but it's Picross.
Okay.
And it's got no touchscreen, which kind of doesn't make any sense.
It does not make sense.
No, not one bit, so... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, Picross was just... It was a match made in heaven for the 3DS and the DS before that, and... Yeah, I mean, it's bare bones as fuck, but... It's got...
Still Picross.
Yeah, it's got content, and I'm stuck, so it must be, like, good? Because I'm simple, I guess. But, like, this is the first time that it's properly clicked with me, like, just working out. Like what to do and going through the motions. It's nice and relaxing. I do like that game, but don't expect it's like No Frills, like Asda. Was it Asda No Frills?
Yes, maybe. Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
Basic as fuck. Like you've got your mode, you've got a mega mode, which I don't really know what that is, but
that doesn't sound basic. Mega mode sounds the opposite of basic.
No, it's just it changes the puzzles up a bit, but they're the same puzzles.
Okay, I see.
Okay, but yeah, it's fine.
Isn't the Switch just fucking great?
It's, it's possibly one of the greatest consoles ever made. I think it's got, like, the best controls in the world.
I keep, like, taking it out of the dock and just, like, looking at it and being like, this is good, and then just putting it back. Because I'm like, I could buy one of these games, but Mario is so close now that, like, there's no point. I've got enough to play on other platforms, but man, I'm very excited to just use the Switch again, let alone play Mario on it. It's just going to be fun playing a game on the Switch, so.
Christ, yeah. When I get up in the morning at the break of dawn at 5:30, I just turn on my computer and I just watch Super Mario Odyssey clips and it's like...
Well, soon you'll be able to just pull out the Switch and then just fucking start playing.
It's 2 weeks, man.
Two weeks.
And then, yeah. Oh, Christ.
It's good times all around, I think.
What if it turns out to be like Super Mario Sunshine, though, where it's like, it's good.
Somehow I don't think they'll make that mistake again.
What?
It looks bad. Then like, Super Mario Sunshine. I like Super Mario Sunshine.
I'm a Super Mario Sunshine apologist. Game has some bad stuff. It's really bad in places.
I can't remember. I just remember, I never finished it, but I remember really enjoying what I played of it. Yeah. But that was a long time ago, I guess. Although I think I revisited when it was about like 19. I think I played a bit of it again.
Yo, you put that on the Switch, I will buy it.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Nintendo franchise on HD on the Switch and I'll buy all of them.
Yes. There's probably like literally about 100 Nintendo games that I would put money down for like right now if it were on the Switch.
I mean,
maybe not 100, maybe like 60.
Where is Virtual Console? Where is it? Like,
that's not
literally
even
the most perfect console for it, arguably, in the world.
Oh, no. It's so,
they've done it on the Wii, not the best Nintendo console.
They've done it on all the bad Nintendo consoles.
The Wii U, arguably worse than the Wii.
Yeah.
They got a Switch and went, we're pretty sure this is a very good system, and people went, oh, we'll see, and then they bought it and went, this is pretty good, and then months went past and they started playing games and it went, this is pretty good, and then just no virtual console whatsoever.
Here's the only valid explanation that I can think of for it, which I've literally just clicked in my mind. The online service, you get free virtual console games with that, right?
Yes.
So, in my eyes, they don't want to release all of those, a bunch of those games now, and you'd be like, yeah, of course I'm going to buy Super Mario Brothers right the second. Right? And then when the online service comes around and it's like, oh, you get Mario Brothers for free, you'd be like, I've already got it, so I don't need this online service.
Yeah, why would they want to take money off you? That's crazy.
I mean, one of the most like important points of this like console's history so far with Mario coming out and like just having two of the best games arguably this year.
Yeah.
And it's
they could just be like, hey, you bought Mario, so you get a free month.
But it's a bad, it's a bad online system.
I don't think they would hold back Virtual Console. I think they haven't finished developing it.
Yeah, maybe a bit both.
That's like, crazy. Why would they do that?
Because
it's like, look at all these fucking old games you can play as well. Get your Switch out all the time. People will see it and be like, oh my god, it's a Switch.
Get your Switch out for the lads.
But like, I don't know, I can see in February, let's say they launch it in February, if like, yo, you get The Legend of Zelda and Super Mario Brothers, like, everyone's going to fucking subscribe to that thing straight away.
I mean,
whereas if there was a way to buy them, like, I probably wouldn't subscribe right away. I'd be like, nah.
What? Really?
I don't understand that logic at all.
I don't understand it. Like, put the virtual console out now with N64. Put some GameCube games on there.
Yeah, yeah. I'd buy all that shit. Holy hell. Yeah, of course. But then when the online thing rolls around, I probably wouldn't get the online thing because I'd already have the games.
But what if it said, oh, like, just have a free game, like pick a game, pick a free.
Yeah, but I'd already have bought them.
But every game,
that ever existed.
I know, but it's going to be like PlayStation Plus, where they pick the games every month.
You're not going to play Goemon.
Yeah,
you're going to play Goemon for the N64.
I'm just going to say their business plan is like, right, the first month Super Mario Brothers and Balloon Fight, the second month is Legend of Zelda and Metroid. You know, they have a plan for it, and they're going to drip feed games out, and they don't want you buying those games now, because then there's zero incentive to be part of the subscription service. Other than if you want to play Splatoon.
Are they
giving you the games for cheaper?
What do you mean?
With the subscription? Would the subscription be cheaper than buying the games?
I don't think you're going to be able to buy those games for a long time individually, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I think that sounds dumb, but it sounds like something Nintendo would do.
Yeah.
But,
yes, no, absolutely. Exactly. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to see their reasoning. I'm not saying it's good reasoning. I'm just saying I think this is probably their actual plan.
Do you think a year from now Nintendo's going to quit their bullshit and like sit down and go, right, we've had some bad feedback about this online service.
Nope.
Why don't we just bake it into the system instead of having some shitty mobile app and having to like ring your friends through this thing and like using a headset that connects to a dongle that goes in your system? Like, come on, just adapt to the market. Like, grow up. Like,
you know what? You know what? You know what?
So frustrating.
You know what? The Switch is doing fucking great and they don't care at all.
It's
frustrating. It's so frustrating, like in Nintendo games. But you know,
you can't turn
around
and say this is a legacy.
There's no games I want to play online on the Switch, so I don't give any fucks. Like, I've played Splatoon, I played it online a bit, it's fun. I probably won't play it much anymore.
Infrastructure.
Every single one of us Every single one of us is buying at least 50% of the Nintendo first party retail games over the course of its system's life, so they don't give a fuck about us complaining on this podcast about online.
There's no Monster Hunter games anyway.
But the third parties are slowly starting to creep back to Nintendo, and the last thing they need is a shitty internet service to play
But
their
also,
games on.
Would you rather play Wolfenstein 2 on the Switch or the PS4 or PC, you know?
I mean,
like, it's pretty obvious where you're going to play that game. You're not gonna
but
play it
at the same time, it's like, it's nice to have that option. Like, it's, imagine, like it's going back to watching video games as a child. Like, we didn't have that. Like, the idea of a console quality first person shooter on a handheld, like, Jesus Christ, just stop me now. Like, I'm just, that's amazing.
Stop me now. I'm just going to say, you're going to buy Mario, I'm going to buy Xenoblade, Joseph's going to buy Kirby, and Nintendo's going to be laughing all the way to the, all the way to the bank. So
I'm probably going to buy all three.
I feel like
games.
This whole conversation is redundant.
Kirby know, looks so good.
Oh, Kirby does look so good. And
looks all right.
Yoshi.
Looks pretty good, yeah.
Looks so
Yoshi,
good.
Yoshi
looks
Yoshi,
great.
Yoshi
that's fine.
I mean, like, at this point, they could literally bring back, like Samus cleans a Metroid poopy, and I'd buy that game. Like, literally, just give me games, Nintendo. Don't hold back. Yeah. Don't hold back. Never hold
back. I'm kind of looking forward to Animal Crossing.
Oh my god, yes. Don't even mention that.
Might be my first jaunt into the Animal Crossing world.
Mate, do you want to visit my village?
I think I'll play it in Japanese, just to practice Japanese. It seems like a good game for that, because it's all everyday stuff, you know?
Come over my house.
Like, if I jumped into Xenoblade, it would be like, yo, use the third power crystal to get your memory blade. I'll be like, what? I can't read any of these kanji. Whereas Animal Crossing seems like a good jumping off place.
Yes, absolutely. So, Tom Nook got you by the balls.
So you can visit my little Mura, my animal Mura.
Yeah, and I'm gonna come around and I'm gonna, you know, hide pits everywhere and ruin your life.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm gonna conspire with Tom Nook, and I'm gonna buy your house from underneath you. Me and Tom Nook will be laughing all the way at the bank to cash in those
with
belts.
Nintendo. Nice.
Yeah.
Have you played anything else of significance, Michael?
I can't.
Before we move on,
think right now.
Shall we move
played
on then?
Yeah, the podcast's getting a bit long, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
News. It's the news.
What happened, Joseph? What happened this week? Was it a good week?
Middle Earth, not really.
About loot boxes.
Yeah, loot box. It was loot box central. Middle Earth, Shadow of War, has been cracked in less than 24 hours.
All right.
De Nuevo, it's done. Mm. It's done. It's over. What are they going to do? They're getting
Pack
cracked instantly. Every new update is just like, oh, whatever. Like 10 hours, 15 hours, it's gone. So, yeah. Dunzo. Maybe we'll be getting rid of DRM. Probably not. I mean, people will still keep buying it, keep applying it to the games, even though it doesn't work anymore. Well, yeah.
I haven't illegally downloaded a game in around 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? Like,
10,
I understand
12 years,
games
something like
are
that for
expensive,
me.
But, like,
if you're a child and don't have any money, then
fair
play to you, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to confess to any crimes on this podcast.
I murdered a man last night.
I'll say I've never downloaded any modern games within 15 years of the release.
Yes.
Alright.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I guess like classic games, I didn't really think about that. Yeah.
I mean, let's not get into the whole like archiving old video games and downloading them. Because that's
said.
No that's longer available new.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Okay, so that means the loot box thing, as we discussed before, is all being hacked as well, right? Unlock loot boxes.
Silver loot boxes you can, gold loot boxes, typed, like, it goes, it checks online to see if you've
account
do
based.
It all, because obviously it's going to kick your gold currency out, which is actual money, so but I silver loot boxes you can open infinite on PC if you fiddle with the settings. I don't think you even need to download anything or anything. It's just like fiddling with the settings,
like an INI file.
Yeah, maybe
just get you some rare orc.
Like that, yeah. Need some legendary orcs.
Legendary
orcs. Like that fella. Lurtz. Was he called Lurtz?
No,
the Uruk-hai.
Lutz. No, that's
Lutz.
That's not
Amityville Horror Family.
Okay. The one who shouts find the halflings and, fellowship of the ring.
Remember.
Oh, that one that fucking yells at the start of the Helm's Deep fight where he's just like, "Bruh!" He's probably legendary, yeah. Right?
And yeah. Like shot Boromir like five times no scope.
Yeah. Shazgook, yeah. The Flim Flam.
Okay.
Why not? That's pretty much how they name those characters in those games.
I mean, especially now that, you know, they've essentially made, like, Lord of the Rings into an action franchise where...
Yeah.
It's just not, though.
Kind of is.
I mean, it's not.
There's just massive battles in that series most of the time.
But then it's, like, one man against, well, technically two men against the world and...
They cut out the bits where Aragorn's just reciting poetry.
I mean, arguably the best bits. I mean, you give me a 3-hour section in which Tom Bombadil watches some naked halflings frolic around, and I'm like, yeah.
Fatty Lumpkin.
DLC.
Share the load.
Yeah.
He certainly did.
Fortnite is... garnered over 10 million players in the first 2 weeks of its Battle Royale launch.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That game was in development for like 7 years, and then they developed the Battle Royale mode in like 2 weeks, and now it's the most successful part of that game by far.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the development was alongside like iterations on Unreal 4 and stuff, wasn't it, though?
Yeah.
But I mean...
But
I mean, like, I bought that game out of curiosity, and like, it's... Yeah? There's some aspects of it that are really cool, and then there's just, like, things that they don't explain, like, half-baked ideas in there, and it's like, well, yeah, that
Battle Royale game... Is it early access, though, or is it...
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's probably why.
But at the same time, it's, like, got, like, some really weird, like, feature-complete stuff in it, like cutscenes and shit like that, and it's like, well, okay... I guess. But then, hey, that Battle Royale mode's popular, why not do that? That should be easy. And then all of a sudden, just money.
money.
So, it's buy-in. It's not free to play.
Is it? No, you got to buy it.
What? 10 million people have bought it. I don't believe that for a second. The Battle Royale mode is free to play.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
10 million? I thought it was 1 million.
No, 10 million?
10 million.
Fuck!
Yeah, Battle Royale is a popular game mode, and if it's free to play, because PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is like 26 quid?
Yeah.
Or something.
Do you know when I'll jump into the genre?
No, never.
When Takeshi Kitano hands my playable character an umbrella in a rainy forest.
Yeah.
Then I'm in. Then I'm 100%
in. Or they just do a Persona one, where you can play as like Jack Frost, who's like just murdering fools.
Nope. It needs to be a true Battle Royale game.
My prerequisite
to an official Battle Royale game.
Yeah. I would play the fuck out of that with like a story mode.
With like flashbacks.
Customize.
When you kill someone.
Customize
what
like
life was
your
like,
school
you know,
child.
Like a story.
Flashbacks of me
That'd be really
my
cool, actually.
Some yeah,
You
awesome.
Kill them and then I have
awesome.
Like a flashback of their life and stuff. And it's like, oh, I just killed a person.
Guys, like, do you want to make £1 million?
Yeah.
Sure. Joe, learn how to code. And then me and John, I'll just sell it.
How about Telltale's Battle Royale, where it's just,
just
a Telltale game,
choices,
but it's Battle Royale. Yeah,
I mean, like that's like essentially like Danganronpa, isn't it? Like you start off,
but
at
not
the point, and then you just go through the line, and then like there's some really bad animation. And sorry,
Danganronpa is good though.
Yeah, sure. I liked The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
I mean, sure.
I like The Wolf Among Us. That was fucking great. That was a great game. That was better than The Walking Dead, actually.
Yeah, I want to play that on my Switch.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for the season 2.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yes.
We're totally talking about nothing.
Yes. How are you guys doing?
Valve has updated Dust 2 visually.
Yeah.
So it looks really nice. And they've changed it a little bit for gameplay purposes. And it looks real nice. So,
I mean, sure, but didn't they get rid of, like, fire because people thought that it might get set on fire?
I don't know, but...
Just ignore those dumb people.
that would make sense to get rid of fire, because there are like Molotovs and stuff, and fire does damage you.
But ignore the, just don't be silly. Don't be silly head.
It looks pretty. It's a real nice update.
Look, there's only one map in my life, and that's on 1.6, so it doesn't really matter me.
Like, fair enough.
I'm going to download some 1.6 right now. Cause,
why? Just play the new one.
So good.
So's Go.
No, I mean,
it's pretty good. I like it.
I just like esports, guys. I've said it. I love me some esports.
Mm-hmm.
When esports were esports. No, back when you had to in the basement and you played 1.6 and it was streamed on the internet over, like, modems.
Yeah. You can still sit in the basement.
I don't have a basement.
Okay.
Sorry.
It just depends on your headspace. It's always a basement for me.
Yeah.
Oculus is launching a low-cost, all-in-one VR headset next year.
This is really cool.
No phone needed. No computer needed. It's going to be £200.
Yes, it's really cool. But will it be supported?
Yes.
It needs to sell.
Because it's owned by Facebook.
It needs to sell.
It's £200. It's similar to the PlayStation VR in that you just buy it and you don't need any other bullshit. You don't need to check to see if your computer or your phone is compatible with it, or it'll run decently. It'll just run. It's 2560 by 1440 resolution, which is fucking pretty good. £200 is like fine to be like, hey, I want to check out VR. Like, I'm thinking about this. Totally.
Sure. It's a reasonable price point.
If I read what I read correctly, though, it doesn't have 3D movement. So it's basically like looking up, looking behind you, looking at the sides. It's not like you step to the side and it'll move with you. Like,
okay.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, this is really cool. Like, this is a chance for the uninitiated like us to experience a semi-affordable like VR experience, but it needs apps, it needs games, it needs things to be successful. And the only way that's ever going to happen is if they can turn around and go, look, this thing's selling like hotcakes, and developers will flock to it. But
I don't know. People are making sense of the Oculus
doing
Rift.
Good. And PSVR is doing really good.
How much is that like slowed down? Like, I don't know about you
it
guys.
It hasn't really. Like, it's just you're probably less interested in it because it's not brand new, so you're not following it as hard, right?
I'm checking the news and stuff like that, and like when that stuff was coming out, it was like, okay, they're doing a VR version of this. This new game's coming out, and it's apparently good on VR, which is a
like
crazy
Skyrim
thing.
VR, which got announced the other week.
Yeah,
I mean like
Fallout VR.
Sure.
What will probably be the best-selling exclusive of the year comes out next week with VR, like Gran Turismo.
I thought you were talking about Mario. Oh, God.
No. Gran Turismo, that's on Mario this year, for sure.
No.
Resident Evil
Without
7
question.
Had
no.
VR.
Are we talking UK?
No, we're talking worldwide.
Okay.
This holiday Mr. period, worldwide. Gran Turismo will outsell
Pitbull
Mario.
VR experience.
Yeah.
I like Pitbull now.
Space Pirate
music,
Trainer
nice
just
guy.
Came out 2 days ago.
Great.
Yeah.
Good
that,
for that.
That game was there when VR started, right? Like, it just came out. Just
put
like things are in development. It just takes a long time.
Put it on, you know? Put on this new thing.
Summer Lesson still killing it in Japan.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's... It's
whatever. I think that VR is slowing down to the point where it needs to kick up the backside.
Nah, it's like selling really healthily, like the PlayStation 1 is at least.
It's super early on in its life as well.
Yeah.
Of being like HDTVs took a while before people started buying them, you know.
And it
obviously is a very different step forward in terms of like, hey, it's got motion and
it's a new display technology that everyone will slowly adapt to and make content for. So it's pretty similar, really. Like,
yeah, I agree. But what I'm saying is, it's slowing down. It needs a kick up the backside, and hopefully, this is the kick up the backside that it needs.
I think
needs a new thing that isn't expensive. So
yeah, exactly.
It needs to be wireless.
Yeah.
It needs to be you know
wireless,
decent resolution.
It's all in one. It's got an incredible resolution.
It just works,
that's what
Joseph.
Joseph's saying.
Yeah.
Joseph.
It just goes. That's why
it's
called Oculus Go.
On the go. Don't drive and Oculus.
Make me not do that. Yeah.
Drink, drive, and Oculus.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, very exciting. What's next?
Cool.
The ESRB has said that it doesn't see loot boxes as gambling, or can't define loot boxes as gambling itself. It would have to be from a different what are they call what is the ESRB? It's a what's the word?
Are we trying to define it?
Sure, yeah.
It's a agency that takes games and looks
it,
at
it. It would a different
there's
board.
Something ratings board.
A ratings board, yeah. It would have to be a different ratings board that does it.
Okay. Mm. Is there a gambling rating board that I don't know about?
Probably.
Maybe.
Cool.
Like there absolutely will be,
right? A different board, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That seems like a little bit of a cop out, but
it's not really a new thing, enterprise loot boxes, but it's still something that hasn't been
defined.
Yeah,
controlled.
Yeah,
you know,
regulated.
It's really odd to think like people are looking into this now and trying to like define what it is. And I mean, it's existential in so many ways. It's like, is it a gambling thing? Is it just a gameplay addition? Is it just additional content for a game? It's crazy.
Just shit. That's all it is.
I like opening a box.
Yeah.
Like, just don't make them.
Well, why can't it just be a chest?
I mean,
in a game.
Same thing, Joseph.
Yeah, like, why can't it be like a well-designed area?
It's not in the game.
Where, like,
it's like
yeah.
a menu thing that you pop up and you're like, all right, yes, I've got 200 turns. I've got 200 Egyptian coins, so now I can get a spear with random stats.
It's also a good animation, Michael. There's a good animation when you open a chest in Zelda, but you actually have to like solve puzzles and find the chest, and then you get an item that does shit. Like, that's good.
Banana. I can't wait for the loot chests in the next Zelda game.
Oh jeez.
God, it's nice.
Like, good job. You got 20 Korok seeds. Now you can open a loot chest.
You've got
Sorry, I don't,
one
now
out
you've got
of
the
50
hookshot.
Half pieces. Buy more to get more hearts.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, Nintendo, get on your bullshit.
I'm checking out of games. If that ever happens, and possibly just this world.
Yeah, I think that's
please
what people
don't.
Are scared of, right?
Please don't do a suicide over loot boxes.
Okay.
No. Don't worry.
Speak to people if you do feel suicidal thoughts.
A monetization service company called Digital River has done a report in which it found that games as a service has tripled the industry's value.
Okay.
So...
Great.
Games are good and people are buying them, so it's viable?
No, it means like games as a service.
Games
like...
as a service. Like games that are constantly and continuously updated and monetized with those updates through microtransactions. Like games like Warframe,
DLC,
Path of Exile, Hearts, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Has tripled the industry's value.
There we go.
Sure.
There we have it.
Digital River has found that consumers prefer games with a steady stream of content over a $60 box title. So it's mainly focused on PC games, and it's free-to-play games, specifically. Mm. And it doesn't not just free-to-play games.
Mm-hmm.
As quarter of all digital revenue from PC games with an upfront cost came from additional content. So that's DLC as well as microtransactions.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fucking lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
You gotta consider games like Dota though and League of Legends, like they're fucking juggernauts. And they
sure,
bring
League of Legends.
Yeah, League of Legends.
It's good joke that.
I just slurred my words, I think. so basically this is the way that the industry is going now. It's not.
No.
It's not. Like a fad. It's not like, hey, EA's being a shithead as always and doing this horrible thing where it takes advantage of you and takes more money than maybe you want to spend. It's just, this is just how games work. $60 is way less now than it was 15, 20 years ago. They're gonna make money some other way, maybe.
So I don't know, man. I guess like the way to do it is when Final Fantasy 16 rolls around, just wait a year and a half and buy it when it's all done.
Yeah. Maybe.
I mean,
which is sad, but maybe like, this is just how we'll have to adapt. But the way I fucking hate a drip feed of content. I like to get something, I like to play it for a week and then move on to something.
But I mean, like
that's, you know,
the way that EA is monetizing games now, like that's not going to go away anytime soon. I mean,
no, that's what we're saying though. But like, there's always Game of the Year editions and
true. But I mean,
and heavy price cuts and stuff like that. It's not even about the money for me, to be honest. Like.
Yeah.
If it was £100 for a game, but it was like a finished Final Fantasy 16, I would take that over a £40 Final Fantasy where the content's drip fed over like 2 or 3 years, like any day of the week. So it's not a money thing for me. It's really just like I want a complete thing that I can just sit and play in my time rather than their time.
I'm never gonna pay £100 for a video game unless it's like.
Well, you will one day.
How much money have you spent on Dota 2? Or HOTS.
I don't want an accurate...
You've spent more than £100 on a video already, mate.
Shut up.
You have, and I have too.
Look, there was how
many months of subscription did you have of World of Warcraft? How many expansions did you buy for that game?
Exactly, yeah.
You've spent, probably thousands of pounds, over £1,000 on WoW. I think I have. I'm not sure.
And like the Final Fantasy VII remake, for example, that's going to probably be £40, then £40, then £40, right?
Yeah,
but like, I could just wait and then buy it all for £100, and it would be worth £100, you know.
Yeah,
what have I done with my life?
Or like, the Witcher DLC is like
they trick you,
like priced pretty reasonably, but like, you know,
I was tricked.
I'd pay £80 for The Witcher 3, like with all its DLC. Like I wouldn't because you can get it cheaper, but I think it's kind of worthwhile for the like massive amount of stuff you get out of it.
John, the trick.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much though.
I don't know.
You'd probably be like, this wasn't worth £80 compared to this £40 game that I played with all this optional shit that I didn't care about.
Yeah, but like,
look, DLC I paid some DLC.
Because I love Persona 3 Portable so much, I paid for like insane priority shipping from the US for Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah.
I paid £60 for that game to get it day one. And it was worth every penny.
Yeah.
And then you gave it to me as a gift.
That's the best game of all time, though.
Yeah, so, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, a complete product delivered properly can be worth more than £40, in my opinion.
Sure.
And I would rather pay more and have it complete and finished than pay £40 and have to wait for the rest, even if the rest's free. But whatever. That's just me. That's not actually how most people think about it. So, never mind.
Some people bought Middle Earth Shadow of War, the Silver Edition, which includes all the actual base content, because you get like 2 more Orc tribes, which is a big part of it since the Nemesis system is a focus. That was an extra £10 or £15.
Sure. Yeah.
Some people are going above the normal price, but there's also always a basic £40 price as well.
That NBA game that came out was on the Switch, and there's an edition for that, a digital edition, nothing physical, for over £100.
Good lord.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but that game is a fucking... It's a piece of shit. There's like microtransactions
Harsh.
It is. It's like fucking... mobile game microtransactions where it's like spend $100 for this currency. It's like
upgrade your stats.
Are you crazy? That's more than the base game. That's insane. And you kind of are very like you probably if you want to play that game properly, you're probably gonna have to spend some money on it because the grind is fucking insane in that game.
Best value.
It's a disaster. Yeah, it's the best value.
Okay. I just to segue off here, I actually bought my first upgrade in Pokemon Go. I didn't put no money into that game, but it's taken me 2 months to get 200 coins to upgrade my backpack.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
You get coins from the gym stuff, right?
Yeah, you leave Pokemon to defend gyms, and you can get a maximum of 50 a day, which I only found out the other day. And I had 2 Pokemon in there. You should see my Snorlax, man. It's huge.
Okay.
Whoa.
Well, with that, I think we can close out the podcast, because there is no more news unless you have anything to add.
Just how big my Snorlax is.
No. Oh, anyway, okay. Thank you very much for listening to the Pre-Alpha Podcast. Thank you, John. Thank you, Michael.
No problem.
I've been Joe.
I've been Michael.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, sure.
You're doing a gig next week, John.
Yeah, on Saturday. Should come. It's in Gateshead.
I
never promote things like this in here, but it's for charity, so I feel like it's worthwhile.
Yeah, sure. Go and see John.
It's for a food bank. It's like suggested donation of either cash or just bring some stuff for a food bank.
Walk in with some pasta.
It's the Black Bull in Gateshead, and it's an all-day thing. I think it starts around midday-ish, and we're on it around 8 p.m., I think.
Ooh, okay. Headliner.
Not quite a headliner, but we're on at a decent time. Nice. But, yeah, come along with that if you would like.
Cool.
All right.
And I'll be at someone's house playing D&D with Joe, so... I mean, you can't come to that, but I just thought I'd tell you.
Like, our guitar player hopefully will not be playing D&D with you then. Right. If it's at the same time.
I mean, we could stop it and just do a live D&D game if you fancy it.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, that's what the kids are into these days. Just look at Critical Role, the best form of entertainment that has ever existed.
I've already stopped recording.
That's upset.
Have you actually?
No.
Okay, fucking hell, man.
Okay, right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.